Aren't you glad God is here? And by here, I don't mean just this church. I mean God is here in this land. He's here in this generation. He's here in this season. He's here right now. He's not went nowhere. Just because folks want to know where God's at, he's not left the throne. He's where he's always been, on the throne, everywhere, all the time. All righty. Do we have any children we dismissed with Mr. Randy at Children's Church? All righty, y'all can go back yonder. That's right. Amen. Good word, Granny. It's hard to believe. This is, if you don't know, this is my grandma, and she's a precious saint of God, and it's hard to believe she's closer to 90 than 80, isn't it? That is something else. And Grandma, if you need something to do, if you make me some biscuits, I'll make sure Barbara gets some of them. I'll do an errand of mercy. You make me some biscuits, I'll make sure Barbara gets some. All righty. Did she hear me? Okay, great. Great. I promise you'll get a couple. At least one, yes. This message is called Hold On. And as I was going through the Word of God Friday and Saturday, preparing my message or what God wanted me to talk about, I got turned to this chapter, and I was reminded that Bill actually pointed out this chapter to me Wednesday night. And I thought, how ironic, because I got turned to this. This is the very one you pointed out. We're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll talk about holding on. We know that we are in a very different world right now, and things seem very weird, very strange, can be very scary for some people. We have children and young people that are very scared of what's going on right now and feel maybe a little hopeless or a little bit, you know, what's around the next corner? I'm hearing this. What's the truth? We have a lot of older folks who are very nervous right now and very scared of what they've seen happen to the country and the nation they grew up in and the world they knew. And so we're seeing both spectrums of the world right now. And this chapter talks about the last days, which the last days technically started after Jesus rose from the dead, and we are still in those last days. But it does talk about how the longer from Jesus' resurrection we get, the worse things will get. And I do believe in the return of the Lord. I do believe there'll be a day he'll blow the trumpet and we will go home, whether that's by the grave, whether that's by the, you know, him catching us up and calling us home. But we will be called by God. So this is a message to encourage you to hold on. Hold on. Bill touched on a little bit this morning in Romans 12 about do not let the world conform you, but you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, it's really easy for the world to transform you. You know, all three of our kids are out of school. Our last one graduated last year. Thank God she's out of school and don't deal with any of the mess that may or may not happen coming up. But she's out. And me and Melanie were talking about, you know, with people, especially young people, if they don't have a foundation at home, they probably have no foundation at all because they're getting nothing else anywhere else. In the school system, on the school bus, kids learn dirty words pretty young, don't they? And dirty jokes pretty young. And they go to school and they hear all of this. They hear teachers spewing what they want to spew. They go to colleges and they hear a bunch of stuff. I remember Christian went to Greensboro. She said, I feel so alone because nobody here believes like I do. I can't find nobody that believes like me. Nobody. Everybody's way over here in left field somewhere. This Word of God teaches us that there's going to be attacks in our lives. There's going to be influence. But you hold on. Hold on to what the Word of God says. Hold on to who your Savior is. Hold on to the foundation of His Word. And don't let the world pull you away and toss you away from what you know is truth. We talked a little bit about that Wednesday night. I'm doing a series on Wednesday night called Armor of God. We're going through the seven pieces of armor of the armor of God. And the first one we talked about Wednesday was truth. And this goes along with this a little bit as well. This is 2 Timothy. We're going to read. I got the Amplified beside me here in the same Bible. So we're going to kind of bounce back and forth. The first verse says, this know also, in the last days, perilous times shall come. The Amplified says, great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Pretty accurate, right? It's hard to deal with and it's hard to bear. Because here's what happens. We get angry. Let's be real. We get mad. We've all done it. We have all done it. Me and Melly are frustrated. I know you are frustrated. We have people fighting on all sides of the aisle, people fighting with each other, people arguing, so much spewing, so much poison. We're seeing so many posts that are just dividing people. We are in times that are hard to bear. We don't know what the future holds for our children. We don't know if they start school or not. I saw a thing earlier today that Governor Cooper's talking about doing a 50% capacity school and 50% school bus capacity and kids going alternate days to school. I don't know how that's going to work out. We're dealing with things. You know, my daughter didn't get to graduate at a ceremony. Still hasn't really. She graduated, but she's not had a ceremony. Whether that happens or not, we don't know. Seems real unfair, right? But the point is, Ashley is out of school, raised the roof. She made it. She did it. It's all that matters. I'd rather have her out of school and graduated than have to worry about a ceremony. I don't need a ceremony to prove she graduated. She did it. And she got done a semester early. She did it in 3.5 years. I'm very proud of her. See, God knew that was coming too. Thank God she got done a semester early. We have a lot of things that are hard to deal with. We don't know about our jobs. We see things closing. Ruby Tuesday is closing down. You probably heard that news here in Statesville. They're closing down. Are you happy about that, Nick? You hate Ruby Tuesday. So they're closing down. Melanie's going back and forth, office, home, talking about do we do back to home again, going back and forth. Things are so unsettled. The sports world is rocked. Everything has just changed. And nothing seems very normal, right? It doesn't seem normal at all. But God warns us this will come. He says, now here it gets to where people are. Now, the people I'm reading about, Jesus died for. Here's the good news. Jesus died for the folks that we're reading about in this chapter. But see if this doesn't sound like what we are facing today. Verse 2. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. The Amplified says self-centered about themselves. What do we call this, ladies and gentlemen? Selfies. Goes right along knowing it, man. We really must like how we look. Because we spend a lot of time doing that. We pucker our lips and we bat our eyes. And we make sure we got the right angle. Don't make us look fat. See, I've learned this. You do a higher angle, it makes you look slimmer. I've learned that. Because I've had some pretty bad selfies. I'm like, good Lord, look like Fat Albert. What is going on with that? Let's get this thing on up here a little bit more and give me a better view. I've learned how to hold my head. Because if you hold your head a certain way, you see the landing strip. But if you do it this way, it's better. And we practice and we practice. You know how many pictures I take with Ashley? I don't like it. I'll take another one. Let's get another one. Really, Ashley? It's supposed to be about being spontaneous. Get you in the moment, right? Mouth wide open, stupid look. Look like you're in the middle, whatever. If we got to prepare that, it's not a natural picture. We do stuff called selfies. We're in a world that is self-centered. People are so about what's for me. And Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Boy, that would change things, wouldn't it? Go start taking selfies of your neighbors and leave you out of it. Just leave you out of the picture. I love people that will post a picture of their, and sometimes we do this, but like for their wife's birthday, It's my beautiful wife's birthday, and there you are right in it. Just get your wife. It's not about you today. It's about your beautiful wife, right? Self-centered. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents, young people and children in here. Disobedient to parents. Boy, there was a day, and I was in that generation. So was Melanie. We're probably the last generation that knew what this was. Hang on. Oh my goodness, my microphone fell off. I scared myself. It brought back memories. All right. Boy, I'm not coordinated. All right. remember that generation. How many remember this generation? You know what that is, Brooks? What's that called? A belt. Where's a belt besides around your waist sometimes go? Across your bottom? Boy, when Dad whipped that 1978 4-inch wide belt from off his loops and I heard that, whoosh, I knew I was in trouble. Oh, it was scary. I used to beg. I remember I used to gamble with my mom. What do I mean by that? Bargain, not gamble, bargain. I'd get in trouble at school or something like that. I'd go to mom and say, Mom, now I did this, but this isn't a spanking punishment, right? Can this be I'm grounded punishment? Can this be, you know, I don't go to my friend's house for a week? I mean, I'm telling you, I would rather had been grounded for a week from my friends than go through a 60-second spanking. It's amazing what fear that invokes in you, right? And so, did I sass my mom? I sass my mom some, of course. I mean, kids do that. But I didn't talk to my parents like kids talk to parents now. I didn't swat at my parents, and I didn't say, let go of me and stop it. Mm-mm. No. I had respect for my parents. I had respect for authority. Had respect for those around me. Had respect for teachers. I had respect for law enforcement. I had respect for retail managers if I was in a store shopping. I respected anyone that was in authority. We were taught that, right? And we've lost that because it's about me and what I want to do and what I want to fulfill. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. See, Grandma just testified how thankful she was. Here's a lady closer to 90 than 80 who is a widow who has lost her husband that she was married to for 60 years. Has two daughters battling health issues, but God is with them both, and we know that. And she stands up this morning in the midst of a world she doesn't probably recognize and probably doesn't even always understand what's happening. Because Grandma was born a long, long time ago in a whole different place. But she stands up this morning and says, I want to give God praise. I want to thank God. He's been good to me. Because at 2 o'clock in the morning, when I don't want to bother my daughters and I'm really going through a bad time, I can call on God and He answers my call. I can call on God at any moment, any season, anything I'm battling, God is there. And she's giving thanks for that. And I want to tell you this, in this generation, in this season, with all the stuff happening, God is here and God is right now. And God is hearing and God is speaking and God is moving and God is healing. Just hold on. Do not be swayed. Do not get caught up in the culture of what's happening around us. We were never born to be part of this culture. We were born to be a part of the kingdom culture and to be a light to help the other culture realize who Jesus is. Jesus is love. Jesus is compassion. Jesus is peace. Jesus is power. Jesus is truth. He is the only truth that really matters, because all of our ideologies and all of our political affiliations and all of our own thinking about things don't really matter when this ends, right? When we lose our last breath, all of that stays behind. The only thing that matters is, am I a child of God? Am I a child of the living God? Am I born again? Am I saved? Am I covered by the blood? Is He my Father? Am I His Son? That's all that matters. Everything else stays here. And that's why the kingdom of God is so important. We are all on the same page because we are all the children of God. Without natural affection, verse 3 says, the Amplified says, they will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman. We used to care about each other. All we want to do now, to quote Melanie, is argue. I think we like arguing. Some of us enjoy arguing. Some of us enjoy stirring the pot. Maybe we don't even think we mean to, but subconsciously, all we want to do is point out how someone else is wrong. Instead of just saying, God, examine. I want to examine me and make sure I'm right. If they're wrong, that's them. I want to make sure I'm right. God, keep me, as Bill said this morning, keep me in your will. We pray that prayer, that the Lord's Prayer, right? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not my will. Lord, let your will be done. And if I need to change, by George, change me, Lord. Just because I've always been this way, taught this way, walked this way, doesn't mean the Spirit of God can't change me. Don't care how old we are. It's time we allow the Holy Spirit to shape our lives and not the world. Hold on. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. We know we're battling that, right? Yes. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. When we make God our first love, when God is really number one, not we just say it, but we mean it. We activate in our lives, God, you are my first love. You are number one in my life. Above my wife, above my husband, above my children. And for some parents, that's hard to conceive because, man, the children run you. You don't run them. They're over everybody. God, you're number one. Over my job, over my money, over my stuff. God, you are my first love. We're facing a world where God is not as important as he was. We're facing a world where God is sometimes included when it's convenient, but not always included when it's inconvenient. We're in a generation where the sanctity and the importance of who he is isn't relevant as it used to be. You know, our culture has changed. Church attendance has changed. Religious affiliations have changed. But the thing that should not change is God is still God, and that don't never change, as the old song says. He is Lord, and we should be lovers of him more than anything else, and him be number one in our lives. Hold on, because things around you are happening. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. The Amplified says, they hold a form of true religion, but they deny and are strangers to the power of their conduct and the genuineness of their profession. Avoid all such people and turn away from them. Amen. We are actually, the Bible says in more than one place, we are to abhor evil. We are to go away from evil. We are to turn away from evil. We are to make a conscious effort in walking away from those that are trying to pull us into their trap. Right. Avoid it at all costs. They have a form of religion, but no power to transform their lives. Here's a good example. You're at work with somebody, and you know they go to church, but they live like the world. You got to ask yourself, are they hiding behind a form of religion, or are they letting the power of God truly change them? See, the power of the Lord should change us inside. We should be different. We should let God change us, shape our words, shape our thoughts, shape our actions, shape everything about us. We should let the Holy Spirit change us. Religion means nothing if there's no change in our lives. Saying we're religious means nothing. Let God's Spirit change you and separate you from the world. Hold on to the faith in which you have learned and know. We'll get to that in a minute. Ever learning, verse 7 says, let's skip verse 6, 7. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Now look at verse 8. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses. These were magicians that in the day of Egypt were doing tricks. Instead of miracles, they were doing tricks to try to imitate the miracles. These also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men, also as theirs was. Truth has a way of coming out, doesn't it? We know that. There's only one truth. The truths of this world are not real truths. The truth of God is the only real truth. Because we are serving a God in a spiritual kingdom. All these things come across our desk every day, right? All the social media stats, all the bulletins, all the Facebook posts, all the news media stories, all this stuff, what everybody else is saying and this and that. And we hear all of these voices. We hear all of this stuff. And it makes us afraid. It makes us nervous. It makes us apprehensive. It makes us wonder what's next. Hold on to the Word of God and hold on to who he is and trust him. Don't be swayed back and forth by everything that comes along. The one thing I'm very proud of my oldest daughter is that she was raised on the foundation of Christian principles and the Word of God. She spent 3 years on a college campus, a very liberal college campus that taught many values and enforced many values that went against her values. And she stood her ground, and she kept the faith through those 3 years and did not let the culture around her change her. She stayed true to who she believed in. You're going to be in the minority when you stand on God's word. You're going to be in the minority when you truly stand on the principles of God. You're going to be in the minority because many people just don't believe. Many people don't understand. And many people want things of God but don't want to allow the Spirit to change them. And this is part of what Bill was talking about with the fasting series, how that this gets us in a place of surrendering to God to change us because we are so hardened. And I'm going to tell you something. I see, even with Christians, even with me, with Melanie, I see an anger and almost a rebellion, right, that's coming out because of what's happening, because we are so opinionated about how we feel. But I want to hear what God has to say about it, not what I got to say about it. I want God, speak to me, bring me peace, bring me calm, bring me truth, bring me answers. Bill talked this morning about how God speaks through his word, but God also still speaks to us today. I can hear God's voice. God speaks to us. Many of you heard God's voice. You know it's God talking to you. Listen to that voice. Tune out the voice of the devil and tune on the voice of God. Now, these verses talk about the state of man, the condition of man's heart. And it don't take much around us to see that. We know we're in that day. Here, the next section of this chapter, what I really want to focus on, this talks about holding on and what the Word of God tells us to do. You have fully known my doctrine and my manner of life, Paul talking to Timothy, purpose, faith, long-suffering, clarity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but look at this, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Amen. We are facing something now that we can't really control. We're facing things we can't fight. But I trust that God is going to deliver me out of them all. No matter what the battle is, no matter how it's raging, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how down the tubes the world seems to go, it doesn't matter. God is the one I serve. I'm part of His kingdom. I signed up in His kingdom. I'm not part of this world system. I'm traveling through and I'm here and I've got to exist in this world. But my eyes are not on what's happening on Capitol Hill. My eyes is focused on Calvary and that hill. My eyes are not focused on what comes down the pike by law. My eyes is focused on the word of the living God who calls me His child. And I will not allow the world to change me. We are to help change the world. We are the light. We are the ones to be peacekeepers. We are the ones to be joy givers. We are the one to be the voice of reason in a chaotic world. Who are they going to turn to? Man, politicians have let us down for generations. Right? They really have. Man has disappointed us for generations. Like Grandma said, the one person she can always count on is the Lord. People come and go. They're born and they die. They're in your life and they're out of your life. Your seasons are always changing. But the beautiful thing about God is hold on to Him. He is always there. He's in every season. He's in every place. He's in every hour. He's in every transition. He's in every cycle of life. Jesus remains. He is still here. He's not went nowhere. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to change us and not let the world cultivate our actions. This is why I have turned off the news. This is why I have canceled live TV. I don't have TV anymore. Not live TV. I'd rather watch Three Stooges and Star Trek and Scooby-Doo and Bonanza and those kind of things. Because I can escape and not be fed stuff to keep my spirit troubled. The only thing that troubles my spirit is which person are they going to unmask in Scooby-Doo? And I'm holding on for dear life. I think it's that one. And I'm usually right. We got to turn off, because here's what's happening. This is what praying, reading, fasting, serving. These are things that get our minds and thoughts on God. And all of a sudden, God can speak to us in the middle of our chaos and bring us calm. Peace be still, he said on the boat, right? When a storm was raging, peace be still. But that was more of a, to me, more of a spiritual thing than a natural phenomena. He was saying, I am the one that can cause you to have peace. I am the one that can calm whatever storm comes in your life. Whatever you battle, whether it's death, divorce, tragedy, loss, whatever it is, I'm the one that can bring you peace in the middle of this. You're not like them. Be strong and courageous and fear not, for I am with thee whithersoever thou goest, and I will not leave thee, I will not forsake thee. I am he that was, I am he that is, and I am he that always will be. I am your Lord thy God, and no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Keep your eyes on me, saith the Lord today, and quit looking at that. And look at me, and you will see who I am and what I'm about. And I will elevate you to a place above all the noise and above all the fray and above all the fear and above all the darkness. And you will know who I am, and you will see me and touch my garment. And you inside will be made whole in the middle of all of this chaos. Hallelujah. That's who we trust. Man, I'm going to tell you something. The world and the news and the stuff outside the kingdom of God wants to keep you afraid. They want to keep you divided. They don't want unity. They don't want unity whatsoever. The more division they can have, the more power and control they can have. And I refused. God is my Lord and my King and my Savior and my leader. And the Lord is my shepherd. And that's the one I will follow. He will cause me to lie down in green pastures. He will lead me beside the still waters. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they shall comfort me. You prepare a table before my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup burneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. That's who we serve, and that's who we trust. So I don't care what CNN or any of the news station comes out and says, the world's going to end tomorrow. You know what I'm going to say? Hallelujah. How to the luyer. Because that means I am going home to see Jesus. If we would let our fear be replaced with faith in Him and stay grounded and hold on to the promise of God, hold on to the Word of God, hold on to the voice of God, hold on to the covenant God made with you, hold on to it and don't let it go and don't give it away to other people that you don't have it no more and let them steal it from you. Hold on fast to who you are in Christ. Verse 11, persecutions. Oh, and I just said that. Verse 12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers was worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14 and 15 is what I really want to focus on right now. Continue means hold on, endure. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hold on to what you've been taught. Hold on to what you have learned, and don't let it go. Hold on for dear life, because the devil is roaring like a lion. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. He will subtly put things in your mind and your heart to try to pull you away from the truth of God. But you hold on to what you know is truth. And I'm going to tell you something. COVID-19 don't make the truth go away. Rioting don't make the truth go away. All the stuff we're doing doesn't make the truth go away. All the anger doesn't make the truth go away. All the division doesn't make the truth go away. All the fear-mongering doesn't make the truth go away. It's part of the season we're in, but the truth of who God is still the same truth that raised Him from the dead and paid for our sins. We are His children through every season, no matter what comes our way. Hold on to that. There's a lot of things we can't change, but He can change all things. And I choose to follow the Lord. It'll give you much more peace when you learn to trust God. It'll give you much more peace. Verse 15, I want to focus on this too. Look what it says. Hunter's saying, listen up, y'all. That from a child, funny he said that right in his verse, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. No matter what doctrine comes, no matter how good the eye candy may appear, if it's not God's word, reject it. If it's not God's word, let it go. Hold on to what you have been taught. Hold on to what you know is truth. And don't let others influence you when it comes to your walk with God. I'm all about having an open mind to hear other people's opinions and what they want, but not to the point it changes the truth of what I believe in God. We're in a very, very different world in many, many ways. And we're in a world where integrity and values and godly principles is almost outdated. It's almost like, oh yeah. I almost see it as if the Lord lets things continue and we're here another generation or two, them looking back saying, man, remember that church generation back then where they went to church and they sung church songs, they took up an offering and they preached a message, and man, I'm glad we're out of that day. I can almost see that happening because people are getting more and more detached from surrendering to God. Here's why. Can I be honest with you this morning? It's a Sunday morning crowd, whether you're Facebook or whether you're here. Because we like sometimes our sins, and we like our lifestyle, and we don't want to be told this isn't the best life for us to live in God. We don't like that. You know, we don't like, I know a lot of Christians, a lot of people that are professed Christians that do a lot of things I wouldn't do, but of course I do things probably they wouldn't do. But when we surrender to God, all of a sudden we really do want His will to be done, not ours anymore. And if God is convicting you of something in your life, it's important you listen to that. It's not that you're going to hell because of it. It's because He's trying to put you in a different place than where you are now. Maybe you need a breakthrough, but if you're in the same cycle of sin and defeat, you can't have that breakthrough. You need to hear from God, but with all the places you're putting yourself at, you can't hear the voice of God. All you're hearing is the voice of where you're at. We want to justify, I guess I'm saying, our lifestyle. We want to justify that this is okay, that's way back in, that's outdated, that's old-fashioned, that's old-timey. You know, and each generation has produced something a little bit worse. We talk about this all the time. You know, my mom, when she went to school, my mom graduated. You mind my telling when you graduated? Is that okay? Mom graduated in 1968 from high school. And my mom, back then, girls had to wear a dress to school. Remember that? Had to wear a dress to school. Now they don't hardly dress at all. We went from covering up to like, holy cow. A lot has changed in the respect of what we honored And a part of that was, I think, honoring, just honoring. But also it was a respect to, we always thought of God. There was a more awareness of God. But every generation produced that. We know that. I mean, you know, if you go back to the 1920s, was any of you born in the 20s? Nobody's that old, right? Not quite. They had that to call, well, what's that thing? Was that Jitterbug? Not 20s. The Charleston or something. Charleston, yeah. You ever watch how them moves are? They move pretty good. They be doing like this. That's one of the moves. I mean, man. Then you get Elvis Presley come out in the 50s, right? Elvis Presley made a lot of girls cry. Boy, Elvis Presley music so innocent now, isn't it? But boy, grandma and her back when my mom was growing up, if grandma caught mama watching Elvis Presley, and I won't shake like he shakes. And yes, I can, but I won't. That's okay. Old grandma been a Diane. That's ungodly. That's unholy. You watching him shake his hips like that. And the Beatles, oh my gosh. They had long hair. Really? Have you seen hair today? They considered having long hair. And the Monkees, remember? We are the Monkees. We ain't monkeying around. Your mom back there dancing. See, it's amazing. The old spirit's coming back. Every generation has led to something worse. My generation, what I call my generation, the 80s generation, brought in the long-haired metal bands, long-haired rock and roll bands, guys that wore tight pants and makeup. And we thought it was cool. We introduced a whole bunch of sad men generation with that. I mean, gosh, guys with makeup and tight pants and long hair down their back. And we introduced that generation. We were part of that. Then the rap generation came in real hard in the 90s. Introduced a whole different sect of music. Each generation has produced something that's gotten worse and worse and more outrageous. I took Melanie to a concert to see New Kids on the Block several years ago. And I make jokes. She goes, why do you want to see New Kids on the Block? She says, it's going to be all women there. I'm like, yeah. She's watching them. I'm watching that. We both win. Oh, Jordan Knight. Hey, baby. We both win. They didn't know I was there. That's true. But anyway. But the introducing act for them back then was a person called, and you know this person now, but this one, she was first coming out, Lady Gaga. And she come out half-dressed on a piano. And I was very confused. And it still has disrupted it still has, I need counseling. I looked at Melanie, or she looked at me, and she says, what is that? I don't know what that is. But it's really amazing how each generation has produced something more outrageous and more, you know, we grew up in the generation of Madonna, right? Madonna. She was pretty out there. I mean, she was out there for that. Now, she'd be normal now. But for that generation, she was really out there. We see each generation leading to something. We know that we are in a time that's never been before. We know that things are more and more evil, more and more dark. We have seen more and more things be accepted that was not accepted 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 100 years ago. We're seeing that generation. And we're here. But the Word of God is a great comfort to hold on to the word you're taught, to hold on to what you have learned, to hold on to what you have been taught since you were a child. Look at verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. People say the Bible was written by men. Well, of course it was, but it was inspired by God. And this verse tells us this, if you believe this is truth, that the word of God, all scripture, is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. The word of God adds something to our life. It adds something. You know, a verse that parents love quoting is in Proverbs. Train a child up in the way she go, right? And it shall not depart. We also like quoting another verse. Spare the rod and what?
Spoil the child.
Yeah, there's something to that. Because when there's no consequence, when there's no discipline, when there's nothing to pay for, it produces a different result. I am thankful for the discipline that I had in my home. I'm thankful. I had parents that, when I was wrong, they told me I was wrong. I'm thankful they kept an eye on me. I'm thankful that they gave me instructions I didn't like at the time, but I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful I had that in my life because it helped me become a responsible, mature adult. The Bible is profitable, has all kinds of things. It talks, I mean, if we get in the Bible, it talks about, it really can relate to whatever in life you're needing. God, I need to know what direction to go in my life. God, I'm praying for a soulmate to marry. God, I'm praying for my children. I'm praying for my home. God, I'm praying for my finances. Lord, I'm praying for my health and my body. God, the Word of God is full of all that we need to get through this life if we will read it. It is profitable. It's a good thing. For doctrine, it's profitable for doctrine, the right teaching. For reproof, which we don't like reproof. If you got any teenagers in your house, they don't like reproof at all. They don't be told what to do, and they know everything. For reproof. For correction. We don't like correction. And for the instruction in righteousness. The Word of God, if we will listen to it and follow it and hold on to its truth, it will get us through what we're battling right now. This season is going to pass, I promise you. It's going to pass. How to look on the other side, nobody knows. But what we are going through will pass into something else. And no matter what comes our way the rest of this year or 2021, no matter what is happening, no matter what we see on the news, no matter what's happening, hold on. Because you may feel like, I can't keep going one more step. Pastor, I'm tired and I'm done and I'm angry and I'm frustrated and I feel hopeless and I feel abandoned and I just don't want to live in this world anymore the way that it is. Hold on. Every generation has had its problems. Every generation has had battles and has problems. We've had world wars in every generation. We've had fights in every generation. We've had cultural change in every generation. Every generation has something. This is just something else. But God is still God. He is still where he is at. He is not changed. And this Word of God is for our benefit. Trust it and believe it. It's for you. And I believe every word in this is true. And I do believe what Revelation says. When John saw the vision, I see a new heaven and a new earth, for the old has passed away. And he goes on to say, there'll be no more sorrow, no more crying. All things will be made new, for the former things are passed away. I believe what Revelation says. And that day is coming. So we can rejoice in the day we're in. We can be happy in the day we're in. Let's not get frustrated. Let's not get angry. If we don't agree, just Hakuna Matata, man. I'm going to tell you something. The Hakuna Matata life is a lot better way to live. Your blood pressure will be lower. You'll be a lot happier, and you might stay married longer, if that's what you want. Hakuna Matata. No worries for the rest of your days. It's a trouble-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. Think about that. We really don't have no worries the rest of our days because we're in Christ. I'm not worried. Whatever happens is going to happen. If I believe that God's over my life, and I'm in his hands, and my days are numbered, then I'm going to trust him, and I'm not going to be afraid to live my life to the fullest. Because God, you're in control. I can't stop sickness from attacking my body, but you can. I can't stop getting hit by a car, but you can. I can't stop what's going to happen against my life, but you can, God. And that's what I trust, that you go before me, and you make a way, and you cover me. Hold on to the truth of God's word. Hold on. And do not let what's happening change you. Because they're mad, don't let it make you mad. Okay? Because they want to be divided, don't let it make you divided. Because they're yelling and shouting, don't cause you to yell and shout. Follow your king and trust the Lord. We are the people of God, and we must be a light in this generation. We must be a place people can trust. Because I don't care what you look like in this church. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what your present is. I don't care what you've done or what you're doing. I don't care. That's not for me. This is a place, church. I've established it from day one. Manly will tell you that. We started this ministry. My parents know this. Rod and Tammy know this. From day one, this ministry was established. And on our van, it's all written where Bob put all that writing on there. And I love it because I'm in a traffic light. Everybody's reading the van. And I really mean this. It has in our van a place where everyone is welcome. And I mean that. And I've said boldly from the pulpit, if there's folks in this church that you can't deal with, this is not the church for you, no matter how much I love you. Because this is the one place that we cannot allow division to be. It's the one place that we must allow the light of God and the truth of God to reign over our hearts and our lives. Because I'm going to tell you something. You've got somebody that's been a Democrat or Republican for 50 years. You ain't changing their mind. You ain't changing it. You could tell them whatever you want. With Republicans, you're a Republican and they dropped a bomb on my mama's house. And they would say, oh, really? Well, they probably deserved it. That's what they would say. You're not going to change your minds, what I'm trying to say. So what we need to do is love each other for who we are. See, when I see Gordon, I don't see a car salesman. I see a child of God. Right? When I see Grandma, I see a child of God. When I see Gail, I see a child of God. That's what we got to start looking at. See, we label each other by race or by economic status or by drug addict, homeless, alcoholic, liberal, conservative, black, white, Cowboy fan, Steeler fan, Duke fan, Carolina fan. We label each other with those things, right? Homosexual, straight, both, not sure, who cares, don't know. Let's start in the church saying, you know what? Man, when I say the living word peeps, so to speak, I say the kingdom of God in all kinds of shapes and sizes, all kinds of packages and all kinds of ways. And if we can't love each other, we're all, if you got more than one child, you got two kids right there. They're probably different, aren't they? Completely different. I've got three. They're all different. Sierra and Josh, you got a brother, totally different. So different. Completely different. My three, completely different. Nick's got two siblings. Completely different. All three of them, different. But you know what? They're part of the same family. They're part of the same bloodline. And Nick loves his brother and sister, no matter how much Maddie gets on his nerves. He loves her. And Nick can talk to Maddie the way he wants, but let one of y'all talk to Maddie that way. Like I say, hold my earring. Yeah. He don't have earrings, but get my bun down. You wait. You wait to get this bun down. You're in trouble. I become that old cartoon. He-Man. I become He-Man. Let that hair down. See, they're family. We're family, church. We look different. We act different. We vote different. We might believe a little different. But the point is, the one thing we all have in common is we are here serving the same King of Kings. And that's what matters the most. That's what matters. So we can celebrate our family knowing we are serving Jesus together. So hold on to the truth of God as things continue to unravel. And I do think things may get worse before they get better. Hold on, though. Just hold on. And say, Lord, you're in this. And I'm going to follow you no matter what. I'll be working, if they have it in place. I got my call yesterday. A couple years I helped the Board of Elections during voting time. And so I'll be doing the voting again in November. And I'm really looking forward to how that's going to be. That's going to be fun. Oh, that's going to be fun, man. So, but I'm going to be loving, and I'm going to be kind, and I'm going to have my Board of Elections smile. And no matter what they say, I'm going to be calm, cool, and collective. Because that's what we have to be. And I will be. Because I really love everybody. I do. See, Jesus loved everybody too. Come on up here, Margie. Play a song, you and Nate and Gordon. I want us to pray this morning. Before she goes into a song, I want us to pray. I know where many of you may be under a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety right now, and I want to pray that God brings a peace to your hearts today to trust Him. Here's the thing. When we come to church and we leave, we should feel better. We should feel different. We should be comforted. We should be encouraged. And I hope you feel that this morning, that as we leave, yeah, the world's out there and they're doing their thing. But thank God I'm in the kingdom, man. Thank God I belong, that the shepherd is leading me. And I'm thankful for that. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I want to pray with the church this morning for the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of stress, the spirit of uncertainty. God, I pray that these two words, hold on, will get so deep in the hearts of your people this morning. They will think about it all week long. That no matter what they see, what they hear come across the wire, that, Lord, you remind them of these two words. Hold on. Hold on to my hand. Hold on to my word. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to who I am. That, God, they will not be divided and they will not be overcome with fear. I pray for the spirit of heaviness and the spirit of anxiety and the spirit of worry and the spirit of stress. I pray in the precious name of our Lord and Savior that you lift this spirit of heaviness on, off, and you replace it with a garment of praise. That you lift the garment of heaviness off and you replace it with a garment of praise. That no matter what we see or hear, we will bless your name at all times. That out of our mouth shall flow your word and your goodness. As we hold on in a very rocky ride, a very turbulent time, we will hold on and we will be carried over to the other side. Heal the hearts and lift the spirits today in this place. That we leave here, God, changed by your word. And we tune off the noise and we hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated. If I get a couple of ushers to come up here and just stand up here at the offering plates, we'll say a prayer of our offering, give you a chance to give this morning. Slide over here, Kevin. Hey, Kevin, slide over here, brother. We'll stand on this side. Thank you, sir. Kevin's got a nice haircut, don't he? It looks real good, yeah. I don't think I look good asleep. I don't have the right head for being bald. Thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? That's true. 6 feet apart. Father, we thank you for this word of God. I pray that you bless the offering today and use it for your glory as we sow a seed into your kingdom. We thank you and we give you praise that we can trust you and we will hold on, God, to your promises. We'll hold on to who you are. We'll hold on no matter what comes our way, God. We will not be caught away into this world. We're going to hold on to the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all stay here. Kevin, stay here. Y'all come up and bring your offering up if you don't mind. Yep.
He's got up on the platform, got back by the door. Got in the aiming corner, he's got forevermore. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. Jesus is his name. He's God over cancer, sickness of any kind.
Yes.
He's God. COVID, he heals body, heals mind. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. Jesus is his name. He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. God is up in heaven. He's God down in my soul. I know God.
Prayer, God, we've got our separate ways. We pray you watch over us, protect us. We do pray, God, we're in your hands. You keep us from all sickness, all harm, all disease. And we trust you, God, that your hand of mercy is upon our lives. We give you all honor and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. See you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.